Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jerry Lawler, I'm so excited to have him back on the show. Part of my childhood, all of our childhoods.
Oh, yeah.
And but growing up in Memphis and, you know, being born there and sitting on my Uncle Butch's lap, he'd have that boozy Pabst with salt on the rim, and we'd watch wrestling together. And when I would go stay with it, by the way, you understand my Uncle Butch and Aunt Barbara had Barry, Brandy, and BJ with their kids. That is not a joke on any level. And he used to tell me there's three kings. There's Elvis Presley, Jesus Christ, and Jerry Lawler.
Spot on.
Born November 29th in Memphis, Tennessee, he is, without question, one of the greatest wrestling champions of all time, having won a staggering 168 titles in a career that spanned five decades, highlighted by his highly publicized feud with comedian Andy Kaufman. You can listen to his podcast, The Jerry Lawler Show, and starting April 18th, you can see him as part of the new A&E series that searches for some of the most iconic wrestling memorabilia in history, WWE's Most Wanted Treasures. Please welcome wrestling legend, Jerry the King Lawler.
Jerry Lawler, how are you, my friend?
Good morning. I'm pretty good. Speaking with my favorite transplanted Memphian here this morning.
You are.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. You know what? Better than I deserve. Hey, I heard you were you're going to knock it out this weekend in Tampa at WrestleMania 37. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm heading down tomorrow morning. I got my 6 a.m. flight to get down there. You know, every year at WrestleMania time, there are all sorts of appearances and events that go on. I mean, you know, they refer to it as WrestleMania week. This year, not quite as many because of the COVID and everything. There's still tons of appearances around. And they do this thing called WrestleCon, where they bring in a ton of, different WWE superstars from the past and that sort of thing. And they sit and sign autographs and take pictures with fans and that sort of thing. So I'm at that, a couple appearances on Friday. Then on Saturday, we got WrestleMania. But this year, of course, it's 2 days of WrestleMania. But I'm doing the kickoff show on both days. Me, JBL, Booker T, Pete Rosenberg, and all of us are doing the kickoff shows for both days of WrestleMania.
Nice.
And then I'm also calling I'm really looking forward to this, the cage match between Braun Strowman and Shane McMahon. So
excellent.
I'm going to be calling that match.
Yeah, dude, so much fun, man. And I'm just so glad you're still part of it. And, man, you scared us. You know, he had a heart attack and it's scary, man. It's, you know, hell, man, you're a national treasure in many people's eyes.
Yeah, but I never seem to get a check for being a national treasure. I thought there would be some sort of compensation for that, but there's not.
Yes, yeah. You think so.
I don't want to get off the subject or anything, but I always try to correct people when they say, but it gets said all the time, just, "Oh, you had a heart attack back in 2012." And technically, what happened to me was not a heart attack. A heart attack is caused by, you know, usually clogged arteries and that sort of thing, and bad eating, and mm-hmm. you know, you get all of a sudden your an artery's blocked or something like that. You have a heart attack. That means you have pain. Part of your heart muscles are dying because it's not
right.
getting blood flow. But mine was a cardiac arrest, which is different from a heart attack in the fact that you don't have to have.
Sure.
It didn't involve clogged arteries or anything. There was nothing wrong with my heart at all as far as that goes. But a cardiac arrest is when it's sort of actually an electrical thing that goes on in your body. For some reason or other, your heart just stops. It just seizes up and stops. And at that point, you're dead.
That's the gut.
Only 7 out of 1,000 people that have a cardiac arrest survive, and those people are usually in the hospital when it happens, because from the second that your heart stops, technically you're dead, and if you don't get immediate care and some kind of way to get your heart back beating or something, you're a goner. And what caused mine was, believe it or not, the 10 elbows, the trauma that my heart suffered. I got 10 elbows from Dolph Ziggler in our match about 10 minutes before I had the cardiac arrest. And the cardiologist said that it just, the trauma for those 10 elbows,
it interrupted the electrical,
knocked my heart off rhythm.
Yeah.
And it took like 10 minutes for it to just finally seized up.
So before I got into radio, I was a paramedic. And so I understand exactly what you're talking about. So somebody's got to hit you with a defibrillator. Well, they got to get you to defibrillate, then defibrillate you. But, I mean, yeah, they've got to shock you back into a sinus rhythm. And so
yeah,
you...
and that's exactly what happened. But the funny thing, or not funny, but it was 22 minutes.
Scary.
Thank goodness there's our company paramedic and then two other paramedics from Montreal there that took turns giving me CPR. But it was 22 minutes before they hit me with the paddles and shot me 7 times. I had these big burn marks on my chest. It shot me 7 times before my heart started back beating. But the amazing thing was the cardiologist said when it started back, it was back on the right rhythm, and I've not had any problems since.
Yeah, well, you think about what we're saying. How scary is this? No doctor can predict it. It said no. Your heart just, one second you're talking, the next second they're like, nope, not me, I'm out. And it's because, exactly. And you see this sometimes some of the car accident, if they get a blunt trauma to the chest, it can knock their heart out of the electrical, will disrupt. So, yeah, that's scary. Scary, man.
Yeah, and I was just so fortunate in the fact that had it happened, 30 minutes later or something like that, after the show was over, if I'd been driving back to the hotel or if I'd already been back in my room by myself, you never wake up. You're just gone.
Yeah, so there's no pain. You're just like, man, I'm feeling pretty tired. I think I'm just going to pass out, boom, and just go, right?
No, I didn't feel anything. I mean, I went back down after my match. I did feel while I was getting those 10 elbows, I'll never forget, I told the story 1,000 times, but I'm laying there, Dolph Ziggler's coming down with elbow after elbow, and we're on live TV worldwide, and so I guess he's all geeked up. And I remember after the 5th elbow, I thought in my head, I thought, man, whatever happened to the days that we used to do this and not kill each other? then I get 5 more elbows, and sure enough, he killed me.
If you're just joining the show, the king himself, Jerry Lawler, Memphis, Tennessee's the pride and joy of Memphis, and it's such a great thing to do. Like this show we're going to talk about here is this new A&E, WWE's Most Wanted Treasures, and I collect things. So this stuff I understand. Like I have everything from an Ace Frehley Kiss autograph boot to an Evel Knievel signed jumpsuit in my house to a Fonzie leather jacket that he signed. Wow. So I love these things so much, and you guys are going to find the neck brace, hopefully, Andy Kaufman's neck brace from the work that happened on the David Letterman show.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. I don't think I should probably go too far in explaining what was the result of the search, because it may be a spoiler. But that's what it was all about. They came, the entire film crew came to Memphis, and we not only shot here in Memphis, but we traveled to other locations to visit with fans and talk about and thrown in there, I guess, probably because they were real. No, they didn't really have any really good leads on where to find this neck brace that Andy Kaufman wore after it got the pile driver here in Memphis. So they sort of I'm like you, man. I'm a collector too. I mean, my house, I had to move from one house to another about 13 years ago. Just my collection just outgrew my house. But anyway, once they got to my house, they started looking through some of my memorabilia, and they also settled on getting the robe, the cool robe that I wore the night that we had the King of the Ring tournament. My first time when I showed up in the WWE, and I interrupted the coronation, or whatever you want to call it, of Bret the Hitman Hart.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember, I slammed the thrown down on him. I stomped his crown and all of that sort of stuff. So I was wearing this, what became famous, blue velvet king's robe.
That's
and
right.
Blue crown. Anyway, they took that. They went through all my stuff. They took back that back with them. And that's a little bit of part of the show, seeing some of the old wrestling memorabilia that I had. But we traveled all the way down to Alabama. With to one super fan, this thing, David Billiken. He is this guy has he would our collections would pale in comparison to this one room of this guy's stuff. It's unbelievable, all of the things. I was just in shock looking at all of his cool stuff. But he gave us a lead on it, and we wound up going all the way up to Pennsylvania to Bill Apter. Now Bill Apter was the guy who introduced me to Andy Kaufman. He was a friend of Andy's back.
Okay.
Back in the day, and he was the first guy that kind of hung out with Andy and got him introduced to the professional wrestling scene. And sure, well, no, I can't say it. I'm sorry. But anyway, he's one of the guys that gave us a good lead on where we might find the Andy Kaufman neck brace.
Oh, I'm excited to see this because for a lot of different reasons. You know, I'm a huge fan, but also, again, I understand this. Like, when there's certain things you find throughout this world, you collect it, it brings back a memory because the greatest work in the history of crossovers is the work with you, Jerry Lawler, with Andy Kaufman. You know, the world had kind of gotten weird with Andy, and he was a world-class provocateur, if you will. He liked effing with people. He wasn't a straight comedian. He wasn't a straight actor. He was a guy who just loved to cook up a great story and see if people would buy into it and see how upset everybody could get. And you and he, it was the greatest work of all time on David Letterman when you smacked him out of the chair.
Well, one of the cool things about it was like the first time ever that wrestling got mainstream publicity in a big way. You know, being on network TV, with the David Letterman. It was his first year of David Letterman's late night show. And, you know, it just got major coverage. But actually before that, about 6 months before the Letterman deal, you know, we got major coverage when Andy came down to Memphis and actually had his first match with me, or first match with a man.
Yeah.
And he'd been wrestling women up to that point. And then, you know, I gave him a couple of pile drivers, dropped him on his head a couple of times, and he went. He demanded an ambulance, and they took him to Methodist Hospital here in Memphis. He stayed in the hospital for 3 days with his neck in traction, and you know, all kinds of news cameras and everything were there to record all this. And that was, you know, that was the first time that it hit all the newspapers, it hit all the news shows, and that sort of thing. And you know, at the time, Andy was on the number one television show in the United States.
Yeah.
This was back when, you know, they didn't have all the cable channels. You had ABC, NBC, and CBS, and that sort of stuff. And Andy show Taxi was the number one show, number one highest rated show.
And you guys are so committed to holding on to it. That, and so many people, a star like of his caliber would never normally want to be the bad guy, but he had to be the bad guy because that's the work, right? He's the Hollywood guy who's running his mouth, going to sue. And then you have a man's man who stands up and just lights him up. And it's so genuine and real. The whole world just went, God, I mean, they just lost their minds. There's no social media. And
yeah,
it was
and what was... Like what you said, because Andy was on the show, he was this lovable character of Latka, this little foreign guy that worked in the, you know, was the
mechanic
at the taxi stand. But and then to see him totally switch roles and be and totally out of character, because that wasn't the real Andy either. The real Andy was the coolest guy ever. I mean, but he was kind of introverted and everything. But you said the word a while ago, he wasn't a comedian. He would get upset if you called him a comedian. He told me, he said, Jerry, I've never – well, he didn't say Jerry. This was one of the cool things. Andy and I were the same age, and he never once referred to me as anything other than Mr. Lawler.
Oh.
I would tell him, I said, hey, Andy, Mr. Lawler's my dad. You know, I'm Jerry. And he said, okay, Mr. Lawler. And he just, I don't know why. But he grew up loving wrestling, and he grew up idolizing the bad guys. And his favorite was Nature Boy Buddy Rogers. He used to watch him when he was a kid in Long Island, New York. And that wrestling bad guy persona, it really affected Andy, or maybe not affected him, but just made such an impression on him that he incorporated his shtick or whatever into being I mean, he wouldn't come out and say he's going to be a bad guy, but that's what he would do during every one of his shows. Andy didn't like to make people laugh. He liked to make his audience uncomfortable.
Yes, yes.
He liked to make everybody go, wait a minute, is this what this is supposed to be? I mean, I thought this guy was supposed to be funny. What's happening here? What am I being a part of? And that was Andy. He just did it over and over. I'll never forget when we were doing the movie with Jim Carrey, the story of Andy's life. That was the first time I met Andy's real parents, and Mr. Kaufman came up to me and he shook my hand. And he said, "Jerry, I just want you to know that we hated you for years because after the match we thought you were trying to break our son's neck." And he said, and Andy once told me, he said, "You know what? I use my family as a barometer. If I ever have my family, because they expect everything I do to be a scam." He said, "If I can ever fool my family, if I can ever hook my family, then I know I've hooked everyone."
God, and he never let them off the hook with you for years. That's amazing to me. Your commitment to this, because you both had to be so committed to this work, and because any little glitch in the armor, anything will give it all away, and so it had to be perfect and it had to be closed. And you guys, it was the greatest work ever, and it's never been topped.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate it. It's lived on in infamy. That was in 19, the slap. I think the actual pile driver was in 1982, and the slap was in early 1983. And everywhere I go,
it's great.
Every time anybody comes up to me, Andy Kaufman's name gets brought up.
Well, listen, I got to tell you, it's good company. And I'm going to watch you. They're going to give me the rap here in a second, so I want to make sure we talk. A&E's, WWE's Most Wanted Treasures. Don't forget, Sunday, April 18th, 9 o'clock Kansas City time. And don't forget this week, WrestleMania, and look for Jerry Lawler. And Jerry, I always appreciate your time more than you'll ever know.
Oh my gosh, my pleasure. Thank you very much. Yeah, check out the A&E show. It's not just me. You know, you're going to be seeing a lot of people. Of course, Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. You know, they're sort of sitting back at the headquarters up in WWE, and they're guiding us all on this trips. You know, they find out where the leads and tell us where to go and look for all of this stuff. So it's it's a whole cast of WWE superstars on these shows.
The great legendary Jerry Lawler.